Happy hump day, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley. I am at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Professional sports bettor, winner of Circa 2021, fifth place, 114K cash prize, career 57% in the NBA hit rate. I think over, over 150 units, 1 in 2 years in the NBA. Winning in a few other sports right now, too. Believe it or not, soccer, finding value in soccer on a very, very consistent basis. You know, those lines can be so inflated. Winning in the UFC, almost winning in baseball, digging ourselves out of a little hole in baseball, but finding more value now. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day to you. It's another episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts, the sports betting podcast for the common man, because we're not trying to talk down to you, but at the same time, we actually know what in the hell we're talking about. We're here to help you win long term. We're here to help you go to your wife, go to your husband, go to your kids and be like, hey, I want a few extra dollars this week, and I think I learned a thing or two on Laying the Points with Farley Betts to improve my sports betting tactics. Love to hear that. Heard that from a few listeners. Really appreciate all of our listeners and our audience. And we have a fantastic show for you today. Britt Fitzpicks is on the show. You know, she's actually been in the industry for a very long time, studied gaming. She has a lot of great stuff to say on this podcast. But recently, she burst onto the scene. She's given out picks. She's at Dub Club. So check her out if you want her picks over there, her premium VIP picks. And you can find her at Britt Fitzpicks on Twitter. That's BRITTFITZ picks. Fantastic show with her. Great conversation. But before I do that, as always, let me get to my opening rant about these here NBA playoffs. You can tell if a team has great team chemistry and leadership in the game's most pivotal moments. Look at Steph Curry in Game 7. He took over one-third of the shot attempts of Golden State in Game 7 were taken by Steph Curry. And why is he able to do that? Why are the Warriors able to win in those circumstances when one guy is dominating their shot attempts that much? Because they know who the man is. As good as Jordan Poole is, he's like an up-and-coming Steph Curry, right? I mean, nobody's going to be like Steph Curry, but you know what I mean. That's what the Warriors want him to be. As good as Klay Thompson can be, as good of a sharpshooter as he is. Listen, at the end of the day, it's motherfucking Steph Curry who's going to take over. And that's exactly what he did. And Steph Curry, by the way, before that game, the Warriors said, gave one of the best speeches he's ever made to his team. Frustrated, texting Draymond Green at 4 a.m. the night before, frustrated about their Game 6 loss. That's leadership. These are the intangibles we talk about that bring teams to win championships. And in the game's most pivotal moments, the most nerve-wracking game, Game 7 at Sacramento, Golden State, fluid, great defense, worked together as a team, humble, letting Steph take over, and take over he did. Dropped a 50-burger on Sacramento. Night-night, kids. Dad still wins, right? 35-year-old Steph Curry and Draymond. And this older version of the Warriors still wins because they get it. They get leadership. They get those intangibles, the chemistry, the trust in each other. On the other hand, look at where you're not seeing it right now. As talented as the Phoenix Suns starting five is, and as talented as the entire roster of the Boston Celtics is, we're seeing in some pivotal moments of the game, There isn't that team chemistry, right? There isn't that fluidity. You can tell, like, what this is an observable trait. You know, this is not some like made up sociological bullshit. Watch the Celtics. Now, it doesn't happen every game, but let's face it, Coach Mazzulla, he's new, right? This is his first experience as a playoff coach with the Boston Celtics or with any team. So he's brand new at this, right? And then on court, you got Jason Tatum, who, by the way, even though he dominated in the first half, he had four shot attempts in the fourth quarter. Brogdon Malcolm Brogdon had four shot attempts in the fourth quarter. They're not the same. Jaylen Brown had three shot attempts in the second half up until late in the fourth quarter. What are we doing? If you're the Boston Celtics and you have a brand new coach this year and things have gone really well still, right? But if you have a brand new coach and you're the Celtics, somebody has to step up. Somebody has to be like, I'm the motherfucking man. I'm the leader of this team. This is what we're going to do. I don't know if Jason Tatum has that in him. I don't know if he has that killer instinct. In fact, in many situations, he still looks like a deer in headlights. And he's a great player, physical gifts, long, great player, great shooter, had a great year. But here we go again. Celtics had to go through a lot of change. And this roster, I mean, the roster is so talented, right? Sometimes you look at it like Derek White is driving to the rim. Marcus Smart can nail shots. Brogdon comes in and he's good. Robert Williams III under the rim, fantastic, can be dominant, right? Of course, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, which is just such a deep roster. And it's almost like they don't know, like, who's going to shoot it? Who's going to take over? Nobody knows. And as far as the Phoenix Suns go, I mean, you could see it clear as day. Now that they're facing a truly elite team, the number one seed in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, at Denver. Denver was down at the start of the fourth quarter. Denver, though, played together, came together, better defense. Jokic was the commander out there, fluid. They just shot ahead of the Suns. Devin Booker, ISO ball. Durant, ISO ball. Of course, Chris Paul wasn't in that game in the fourth quarter either. I believe for all the fourth quarter, but you know, that was a big hit for the Suns, right? Because he kind of is their on-court leader, right? He's the one, he's the OG who gets pissed, who sounds off against his players. Him not being on the court, I think the Suns missed him. And then, you know, predictably, we see Devin Booker kind of lose his cool at one point, gets a technical foul. Kevin Durant is trying to do it all, ISO ball, but they didn't look like they were in, you know, like they were fluid, that they were in sync together. Right, you could see it in those games' final moments. And then you have other series like the Knicks and the Heat, which I would argue both the Knicks and Heat have great team chemistry. The core has been together for a long time now. Great defensive coaches. That one's going to go back and forth. Same with the Lakers and Warriors. All right, the Warriors blew game one. Okay, I mean, they were tired, right? They had one day of rest in between. That was kind of predictable, right? It's why we took the Lakers early. Lakers should have they should have covered the first quarter. They covered the first half. But, you know, this is the situation we're in where even a team like the Lakers, who has a lot of new parts, look at the difference between the way that the Lakers work together and the way that the Suns or even the Celtics work together. What's the difference? It probably ain't Darvin Ham. I mean, he looks like a good coach and a good leader, seems like it. It's LeBron James, right? It's the experience of Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the court together. But probably especially LeBron James, right? He's done this before. He loves this team. He knows how to get the team together and fluid and working together with chemistry on offense, on defense. And you saw that in the second half of the Warriors and Lakers game. Of course, you also saw the Lakers driving to the rim, exercising their size advantage, getting foul shots, playing better defense. You know, the Warriors are going to have to make a lot of jump shots in this series because that paint area, the front court, is not going to be easy to access. But, you know, the Warriors will get theirs. I mean, you know, Steph Curry will be in the game a little more, right? Steve Kerr was sitting him a lot. It's questionable in game one, but we get it. You know, he's probably exhausted from the 50 burger that he put on the Kings. But these are observable things. And as much as we want to look on paper and be like, well, this team's defensive efficiency and this matchup advantage here, yeah, of course, that matters. But if there's not that, like, you know, if you've ever played sports and you're in a tense situation and you don't necessarily vibe with all of your teammates or just know who's supposed to get the ball or what's supposed to happen during these times of crucial, nerve-wracking, tense moments, right? The end of a fourth quarter, right? Or even the beginning of a fourth quarter when you're down in a crucial playoff game. That can make all the difference. And again, these are observable traits. All right, the data is there. Tatum, not taking shots in the fourth quarter. Brown, not taking shots in the second half. Just like chilling. Right? Suns, no ball movement in the fourth quarter. Devin Booker just trying to do too much. Kevin Durant just trying to do too much. You don't see that from the Heat. You don't see that from the Knicks. You don't see that from Denver. You don't see that from Golden State. And you don't even see it from the Los Angeles Lakers, because that's the difference that LeBron James makes. And for what it's worth, I haven't even mentioned it. I haven't seen that from Philly. I love the way Philly's playing right now. Philly has been one of the most consistent teams in the NBA all season on offense and defense. And they know who their man is, right? They know the man is Joel Embiid, MVP, by the way. They know he's the man. And they know when he's out, next man up. Maxey and Harden. Harden, who, you know, playoff Harden is not somebody we trust, but he stepped the fuck up, did he not? Game one on the road, TD Garden Center, lights out James Harden. He looked like Houston Rockets James Harden, right? Just completely taking over. And I don't know where that Boston Celtics defense was, but these Sixers are deep. And these Sixers have played together for a while now. And they have a different kind of attitude and mentality. +7.5 tonight with Embiid back. Team total, 104.5 when the Celtics haven't stopped anybody on defense, really, this entire playoffs. Woo! I don't know, man. I would favor the Sixers tonight. That's my free pick for you. Let's get to Britt Fitz picks. I could say a lot more about these NBA playoffs. I love talking about it. Stay tuned, because on Friday, we have a great show, Gator Sports Betting. Patrick Gates, a guy that I've known for a little while now, a fellow writer at the Odds Breakers from back in the day, but a fantastic handicapper of horse racing, is going to be on Friday, and we're going to talk the Kentucky Derby. What did I say, Kentucky? Kentucky Derby conversation on Friday and how to approach our bets on that. Look forward to Patrick Gates this Friday. And by the way, look forward to laying the points, always being on Wednesday and Friday every week. There might be some Fridays where it doesn't happen. Again, you know, we got the newborn over here, a lot going on. I'm trying to build everything in the sports betting industry. But Fridays and Wednesdays, definitely Wednesdays, most Fridays. Look forward to that. I know you need more predictability as my audience. I so appreciate my audience. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the dynamic Britt Fitz picks. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. And I'm joined today by an up-and-coming handicapper in the sports betting industry. You can call her Britt Fitz, but you can find her at Britt Fitz Picks. That is B-R-I-T-T-F-I-T-Z, Picks. Great to have you on the show, because I always like to support handicappers who are doing things the right way. And I know you're hustling over there, and you're very invested in the NBA playoffs and everything you're doing on your end. So how are you? Great to have you laying the points, Britt.
Thank you so much for having me. I super appreciate this, and I'm excited to talk some sports with you, especially NBA, because it's my favorite thing in the world, besides my family. And sometimes that's debatable.
I can totally relate to that. It's nice to see NBA games that we can actually like, that are very watchable, right? Because sometimes in the regular season, like, the motivation and like how hard these guys are going to play, the injuries, it is so annoying. Now at least we have, like, you know, these teams in most cases are going to bring it on a nightly basis. So it's, I think this is the time to, what's that?
I said, unless you're the Suns.
Unless you're the Suns. Well, I mean, they nobody could make a shot in that game last night. That was really strange.
They're playing like a D-League college team. It's pretty pathetic for the amount of money that goes into the talent that they pay for.
I know. Devin Booker has been playing really well, but, you know, the Nuggets are no joke. I mean, that, you know, their offense, the way they can work, but it was almost like nobody wanted to win that game yesterday. I've never seen so many open shots and so many misses in an NBA playoff game, especially in that first half. But I digress. Britt, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask everybody who comes in the show for the first time, because I think it's really interesting to our audience to, you know, just to learn about our guests and how they got into sports betting. So let me ask you, how did you get into this crazy world of sports betting? What brought you in and what kept you in?
Well, first of all, I went to UNLV and I studied gaming. at UNLV. And so that was kind of part of the, like, my first step into this. And I actually decided to go for it because I was a blackjack dealer at a bunch of the hotels here. So it's kind of surrounded by gaming and all this stuff. And then a lot of my guy friends were always like making all these bets and like making money. And I'm like, what are you doing? I want to know, like, teach me. And so my friend Justin was like, well, let's go do this thing at Stations Casino. You pay like, I don't know if this is even a thing anymore. This was back in 2016. He's like, we can each pay $5 and you bet on the NFL. And if you get every single one of them correct in a week, I think we won once and we got $1,000 because other a bunch of other people did. But the person who wins it all gets like 50 grand in a car. So that was like my first little like dip my toes into the water type thing. And then he and I just kept talking about sports and I like started watching them. And he was like, how about you take the over on Golden State? And this is when Golden State was just wilding out, like crushing every game a billion points. And I don't think there was as much offense at that time in the NBA because the lines were much lower than they are today. Yeah. So he's like, put $500 on it. I'm like, no way. I'm not going to put $500 on a game. He's like, if you lose, I will give you your $500. I'm like, okay, fine. And so I like wrote it on a napkin. He signed that he'd give me it back if it didn't win. And I was sitting at a restaurant watching this game like, oh shit, it's going to lose. And it was 219 was the number it had to go over. And it literally hit 220. And I was like so fascinated at that point by like the pace of the game and how fast it moved and all the players. And I literally just like, I was obsessed at that point. I was like, I want to know everything. I want to know how they judge these like points and how they get here. And it just was almost all consuming and I became obsessed with it. And I just kept learning more and more. And yes, the winning was great, winning extra money, but really the like learning was what got me so into it. And I'm still like, I love watching games. I love the pace. And that's why basketball of any sort is just, it's my niche.
Yeah. Did you ever play any basketball growing up?
No, I'm actually a tennis player.
You're a tennis player?
Yeah, I played a lot. Awesome.
I love tennis. Loved it. I tore an ACL 4 years ago. So I haven't touched a tennis court in a little while, but I love me some like afternoon tennis on like a Saturday or something, you know, just get a good sweat in, have some fun. I miss it.
And I like that you don't need so many, like you don't have to get like a huge group. You can just get one more person and go hit the ball. Like,
how fast is your serve? You got a nasty serve?
I haven't really kept up. I was really, really good when I was younger. Yeah. Our high school went undefeated for like 20 years. We only lost a match, like one match.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
like amazing. We went to like a country club when we were like five and started playing. We were like groomed tennis players.
Yeah.
By the time I moved, I was kind of like, I don't want to be this serious about it ever again. Like we played USTA, we played high school, we played whatever our parents could get us to play, we played. So.
Well, that's amazing. Apparently there's some money to be won betting some of those minor tournaments in tennis. I've never got into that myself, but I know a few guys who bet tennis really successfully. And maybe that's down the road for me because I hear that's a real gauntlet. But some of these like sports that aren't bet as much. You know, let's face it, right? I mean, WNBA, CFL, in the summer.
I call them the unsexy sports, and that is the more parity in a sport, the easier it is to make money.
Absolutely. There's more of an open marketplace, right? Because there's not as many sharp sports bettors in there. So, maybe tennis is something I pick up. But, you know, off the point you made about your high school team, I used to tell people, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but I used to tell people if I was 4 inches taller, because I mean, I'm 6'2", but I'm not, you know, I'm not 6'7" with like a 40-inch vertical. If I could just jump a little higher, and if I was a little bit taller, I think I would have had a good shot at like some Division I basketball. Who knows, maybe even beyond that. I was pretty damn good, but like in basketball, most players need a good amount of size to do anything, unless you're Steph Curry and you could just, you know, make the shot from anywhere on the court. But I had NBA dreams at one point too. That didn't exactly work out.
Yeah, when I have a bad day, I literally just put on YouTube and watch Steph Curry's shoot Hail Marys, and it makes my day better.
Yeah, I mean, to your point about your total. I was going to say, to your point about their totals, there was a stretch of time, probably around the same time that you bet that over or thought about betting that over, that I used to look at my phone at night, and their totals used to go over, I mean, like 245, 255, you know, on a nightly basis. I couldn't believe how often it would go over for the Warriors. And it was like a surefire bet for like huge stretches of the season. Yeah, that's not quite the case for the Warriors these days. You know, they're a little more inconsistent, but we'll get into these NBA playoffs. But Golden State's been prominent on the offensive side for a long time, that's for sure. So let me ask you, Brad, what sports do you, I mean, you already mentioned the NBA. Are there any other sports do you like to bet, and why is that? Like, what gets you more invested in one sport more than the next?
College basketball. I did really well this year, and I had never bet it before, but I really, middle of the season though. Middle of the season is great because they kind of get the kinks out and you know where they're at. They've played enough games that you have enough information to compare it. I think that's the longest winning streak I had ever had was it was 14 days straight. And I was hitting 5-team parlay. I couldn't miss like for a second. It did come to an end, but for a minute I couldn't miss. I was hitting like 5-6 games every day in a row, not missing one, throwing them in parlays. I was like, this is really great. The middle of the season. And then my boyfriend went to Virginia Tech. So he loves watching the women's basketball team. And I tell you this, it is so much more fun to watch women's college basketball than it is men. Those women are out of control. They will pull hair, they will give elbows, like they want to win, and they are like, they're shiesty. Like, this is probably why women can't play football, because we would like scratch each other's eyes out.
yeah you're not, like, not like, wrong. I mean, I gotta tell you, Iowa LSU was great TV. I mean, that the championship game was awesome. And you know, I can only fit so many sports into my day, and I can't say that I've been an avid viewer of women's college basketball, but I think that game did so much for the sport, right? Because when you have big personalities like that, that people can really cheer for, and you kind of see the animosity on the court, like that's what women's sports needs, right? Like we need that drama. We need to be sucked in a little bit, and they need to be given that spot to show it off. And that was a great, I wish that Iowa kept it a little closer at the end, but that was a fantastic game.
Yeah, I really started on getting into it after I watched Virginia Tech play. I started watching all these women's games. I was like, boys who? Like, this is entertainment right here. These girls don't give a shit. Like, they are going for it. And so I got into that, and that was like, I made a little bit of money. I just kind of started dabbling in it. It's a little bit harder because they do not give you the same stats in the same way as they do for men's college basketball, which is kind of sad. This year, I'm really looking forward to diving into WNBA because they do have a lot more of the stats and the information that you need to like make some like educated analysis. So I'm really ready for the 5th of May to start and digging into that. But yeah, minor league baseball, I am now 5-0 on it. If we were talking about random things to bet, it's really hard to find the lines. William Hill has it, DraftKings have it. I think those are the only two I really know that carry it. But like, it's just if you're playing in Vegas, I know the weather here, it's hot, which means the air is going to be thinner, which means that ball is going to be flying. The offense in minor league baseball is much better than their defense, and the pitching is atrocious, which is great for overs.
Oh wow. Yeah. And are the totals set like significantly higher than a major league?
Yeah,
baseball,
I went to an Aviators game last week and I was watching this, and the night before they put up like, I think it was like 22 runs or something. So I was like, screw it. I'm here. I'm taking the over on this game. It's a warm night. Both of these pitchers have terrible ERAs. I'm going to do this. And I did. And it won. I took the over 15, and I think that one hit really close, like 16. But if you look at it, most of these games that are being played in warmer area stadiums, they're going like 25 runs sometimes in a game.
Yeah, wow.
It's like the Giants New Mexico game, or the Mexico City game. But
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, the first game was like what, 21-16 or something. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna bet an over on a total. I think the total was like 19. And sure enough, that hit. But then, you know, the next day, and of course, this is a difference in pitching, which minor league baseball, obviously not as good pitchers, but you know, the next game, the total, I think, was set at 20 or 21. And then I think they only scored like nine runs in that one. But, I mean, that's good intel there, Britt. You could corner the market on minor league baseball and become the minor league baseball handicapper.
Today is Triple A Tuesday. If you want to find me on Twitter, I have my Triple A Tuesday bet up.
That's awesome. So, you know, for our listeners, this is going to come out on Wednesday, but that's something to look for. Every Tuesday, look for Britt Fitz picks for minor league baseball. That is, you know, you're gonna have me looking at it now, because that sounds like a marketplace to expose.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, and I'm really glad that we talked about this before the podcast, because I really want to talk about this with you. Live betting. Live betting is, I sometimes almost think it's as much an art form as it is a science, right? Because observing the game, especially in basketball, and the rhythm of the game and the way the coaches and players are approaching it, I think, you know, live betting can be so intoxicating for your average public bettor who's just watching the game, right? Because they want some action. They're going to put something down on it. But I also think it can be extremely dangerous, right? Like you could think that you're a good live bettor, and then just like, you know, that's your plan every game, just to like watch it, enjoy it, put down some live bets. But I know for me, like I've had some fast times in gambling before I started disciplining myself a little more. I know that it can get away from you, and you could think that you know where things are going, so then you chase and all that other stuff. But one of the things that you told me that you like to do most is you like to prepare before these games to look out for live angles during the games, which I think is really smart. So just tell us a little bit about your approach to that and how well that's worked for you.
Well, like, I'll just use the Heat game today, and we'll just,
sure,
for less or more, we'll just say Jimmy's playing, yeah, even though he's on, like, if he were to play, it's, the line is at +6.5 for the Heat. For me, that is also a really good line that I would definitely want to take. But if I'm looking at it at a live betting perspective, I'd be like, what's a really good number for this game for me? Like, is it +10? Like, what would I, if I could have it my way, what would this game look like if I could get the perfect number? Right. And so I'll put like opened at 6.5 or whatever. I think it opened at 7, whatever it opened at. And then I'm like, I would like it at +10. So I watch the game. And the second, and I'll, I don't like to take, I try to do a first half and a second half bet. And unless it's like, and if it's a close team, if it's two teams that are really close, I have to be patient and never, ever take the full game spread until the fourth quarter. Because the pace, like the Suns game last night, I jumped ahead of myself. I took the Suns in the third quarter, and they fell apart in the fourth. And you will see that a lot. So patience is the biggest key when you are live betting. If you're doing the first half, you wait till that second quarter, and you wait till 5 minutes into that second quarter. And that is when you place your bet. And you have to refer to your notes if it's even a good thing for you to do.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I would say +10. That would be my magic number for this game. So say they start falling apart in the first half, and I feel like that's like a 6.5 is already a really good number. If I see them starting to fall apart and I can get it at +10 or +12 or even +15, I will jump on that as soon as possible, because a team like that isn't going to just usually get wiped up off the court. Not after they've been playing the way they've been playing, not after the momentum they have going. This is just going to be a brief part of the game. So I look for numbers that have extreme value that make it almost like you can't miss on it. And if it doesn't hit though, I don't think like, oh, I'm going to get him back in the second half of this game. I just leave that game alone. If my first one doesn't come through, I leave it alone. There'll be another game tomorrow. There'll be another game later. You don't chase it, because that's how you get in a lot of trouble with live betting. Cause you think, oh, well, maybe I'll grab onto the side, and then you're on the other side, and then you're in the middle, and then you all of a sudden you've middled yourself, and you've just taken out any value into this game, and there's no way that you're going to come out in the positive on it. Another thing, good thing to look for is if a team freaking kills, especially an NBA, kills the other team in the first half. There's two things that are going to happen in the second half. Either they're going to be so stoked in that locker room that they're going to come out and just keep it going, Like, I think the Lakers did that the other night. Because I was like, but the great thing about that, you can get them the second half at like +3, and they're going to end up at like, they're going to beat them by 20 in the second half. Or they're going to be really tired. And that happens a lot during regular season, not as much in playoffs. They will be tired. And that other team, you can get them at like +20. And they are going to maybe not cover the plus, they'll cover the +20, and they'll probably lose by 10. But the other team's tired, and this team isn't. So you look for things like that. But patience is the key.
Patience, which is probably why I've had some sorry day. I'm not the most patient person sometimes, but one approach that I really like to take too, and this actually goes back to the very first bet that I ever made. I don't know if I told this story on this podcast before, but the very first bet I ever made, I was in Vegas on a trip with my buddy, and this was during the 2010, dating myself a little bit, NBA Finals between Lakers and Celtics, and Lakers went on a run at the end of the second quarter, you know, Kobe Bryant killing it. And I was, so the bet was who's going to get to 10 points first at the start of the third quarter. I saw all that momentum on the Lakers side. So I took that bet. I won the bet, kind of hooked ever since. And I think that's a good angle, right? Like if a team, even if a team's dominated for the first quarter and a half of the game, if they go on a run at the end of that second quarter, especially if they're still playing from behind, I do think that some of that momentum, adrenaline, whatever you call it, you know, that can carry over into that third quarter, right? And again, I do think you see that more in the regular season, right? Because teams, I think they're more locked down and they respond a little better in the third quarter. Both sides do. But like, I love that rhythm play ending the first half going into the third quarter. I also like totals, right? Because if you get, like, I was expecting, actually I did, I live bet Suns Nuggets total over 56.5 last night, third quarter. That hit 61, and that was a scary bet, but the pace in the first two quarters of that game was frenetic. I mean, they were flying up and down the court. They just weren't making shots, right? So expecting regression, especially from really good teams, I think is another good way to look at it. But yeah, I love what you said, right? You get such inherent value by just immediately when the game starts, the lines can change, right? You could get, it can go from 6.5 to 8, like almost right away, because the Knicks could go on a run tonight, right? So then you automatically have value with the whole game ahead of you and things to really change. So I think that's really smart.
Yeah, just really much like making a plan though before, and not just going in like, I'm just going to watch this game and make some money, because if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right. 100%. And I know we're doing this, I know this pod's going to be up on Wednesday, but, you know, for tonight, maybe just an angle for our listeners to look for in the future. You know, a team like the Knicks, they're the best, they're the second best first half team in the NBA against the spread. And obviously they're down 0-1. So I expect them to come out on fire tonight in the first quarter, first half. But to your point, right, it might be a good opportunity to then bet back on Miami in the third quarter and second half, especially if Jimmy Butler's playing. But obviously that game's happening tonight. Our listeners will hear this tomorrow, but I got to ask you, do you have any angles or live bet angles that you're looking for on those Wednesday games? Cause obviously the Celtics need to play better after barely playing defense and letting James Harden and Philly dominate in the second half on Monday. And then you got the Suns who are now down. I don't know if that game's going to be on Wednesday. I think it is, but the Suns now down 0-2, right? So they go back home. Anything that you're looking for in those games?
Tomorrow, let me look. It's just the 76ers. Like Boston, I don't think Boston's going to take them out by 9 by any means. And that's what the numbers sat at. I had the 76ers +9.5 that I actually took live because I was like, I love this number, but without Embiid, I want to see if they're going to step up to the plate because they could be atrocious without him. And once they started stepping up, I was like, I'm on this 9.5. This is going to hit. And I all of a sudden I was like, crap, I should take the money line. But I am like a very careful bettor. I would rather take the safe bet than the money line. It's just who I am and how I am, but it works out in my favor more than it doesn't. So, I was like, maybe I should jump on that money line, but it just seemed like Boston should have been playing better. It was really cool to see the synergy of the 76ers come together like that, even without like a star player. And that shows very little for Boston at this point. So I would say look out for a really good number for the 76ers, because Boston could come out the gate because they feel upset that they lost. But you could even be getting the 76ers at like plus 15. If the line moves at all, because it's already starting at 9, you're going to get some great value in that.
Yeah, I love that. And obviously Philly has shown that they do have the grit to fight, right? They got a lot of depth. I mean, you know, I think people sleep a little bit on how much depth Philly has, right? They're rolling out their guys. They got PJ Tucker out there now setting picks. They played really hard. And do I expect Boston to play better? Sure. But to your point, right, you might get 5 to 10 more points of line value on Philly tomorrow night, or, you know, today when our listeners are listening to this on Wednesday, because Boston's probably going to come out strong, but then Philly might recover. So I think that's a really smart angle. And I just got to say, Britt, you know, some of these key words they're using on this podcast are fantastic, because they are the recipe for success. Betting is usually, it's so stimulating, it's exciting, it's all this stuff, but you're talking about having a plan. You're talking about patience. These are virtues that sports bettors need to win long term. That is, I think all of us are less than perfect on it for sure. But I love that those are your tenets, because you're going to continue to succeed long term if that's the way you approach it. So I love it.
And with a few hard lessons. Yeah. I was like, do I want to be impatient, or do I like money? Which one do I like more?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, some nights it all goes right and you can fool yourself into thinking it's going to happen every night. Right. But I think the way you approach it is really smart. Before we let you go, any other insight or picks that you'd like to give out? I have to ask, because this is your spot.
Right now, that's probably all I have. I don't really look at the next day's games until they are here, because I like to see the lineups. I like to see the players. I like to know what's actually going to be happening. I do have a lot of free plays right now on Twitter. So if you guys follow me, like, I probably put 2 or 3 up a day, just kind of building my base. And my Instagram is kind of where I keep all my numbers if people want to check it out. I do want to know about, is it John Morant? I always say his name wrong, but I want to know, do we think that he has hollow bones and that is why, like a bird, is that why he can fly? Can the listeners let us know the answer to that?
Yeah, I've never seen somebody like the guy looks like he barely has any muscle on him. I mean, he's muscular, but the way that he flies on the court is insane. I mean,
he almost jumped over LeBron James.
Yeah, it doesn't. It looks supernatural. It doesn't look real. It's kind of like Steph Curry with the basketball in his hand, right? It's like, what, something otherworldly is going on here. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, are you an alien? Are you a bird? Are you a pterodactyl? Because he doesn't even care if he needs to jump or not. He's gonna be jumping. Like, he doesn't need to jump. He'll jump.
He'll just jump right over you. He's an amazing player. And it's interesting that they got rid of Dylan Brooks. I don't know if you saw that today, but, I felt like his energy was getting a little toxic. So I think that's a pretty good move.
Yeah. You can't be like that big of an asshole with that little of talent.
great way to put it.
like know your place. Like,
yeah, I know. Like in the middle of that series, I was thinking to myself, what does this guy do well again? Because like there he just wasn't like doing anything. He wasn't defending LeBron well. He wasn't getting rebounds. He wasn't shooting the basketball effectively. I was like, how is this guy a starter? And he talks as much trash as he does. But you know, I'm sure Dylan Brooks will figure things out. I hope he does for his sake. But like that, you know, Memphis.
Better go, because he doesn't have a home right now.
Doesn't have a home. I know, and that, you know, that's what happens when you. When you talk a lot of trash, but you don't do things the right way. Unlike you, Britt Fitz Picks, you do things the right way. So it was great having you on. I figured that we would go a little bit longer than we thought, which is awesome. It's a great conversation. So like, I don't even want to cut it off, but you know, we like to keep these podcasts within a range of time. But like we said, everybody, check her out, Britt Fitz Picks on Twitter, also on Instagram. And you can check her out also at dubclub.win, selling picks over there now. So congratulations for that. Keep on hustling. Absolutely. And I hope we see you back on this podcast soon. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, I loved being here. So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. See you soon, Britt.
Bye.